brother Ali Alibian. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me here.
So today we want to talk about the important concept of adala, or justice, in the thoughts and the speeches of Ayatollah Khamenei. So regarding the concept of adala or justice, for sure, when we are on the way to achieve justice, there are some obstacles. And these obstacles ban us from reaching the justice in true sense of the word. The leader has also enumerated some of the obstacles that are on our way to reach justice, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. One of the things that the leader has talked about is that a person, if is not purified inside the spirit, his own spirit, cannot reach justice. So from one side in the world, in today's world, from one side we see that the people are getting away and away from purity inside, I mean tazkiyah nafs, purification inside, and purification of the spirit. And from the other side, they are looking for justice. Okay, and a very big contrast and contradiction that exists. But according to what leader says, if a person does not achieve purification inside, for sure he cannot path the way of justice.
I just want to just mention a couple of verses about the discussion that we have. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those people who reform themselves.
That's right.
You know, when we stop the process of reforming, that is the time then where we leave justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, those who have committed sins, for example, or who were just unjust in their life, they have committed wrong deeds. And after that, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, and after that, except those who repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, after they were unjust.
That's right.
وَأَصْلَحُوا, this is very important. Only repentance is not enough. You know, once we just say, oh Allah, forgive me, I will not do this. There is another word Allah mentions, وَأَصْلَحُوا, and they reform.
That's right.
Themselves. This is very important. You know, sometimes we commit sin and it has its own consequences. By just saying sorry, it's not enough. You need to make things right. So for them, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And there is another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not corrupt this word after it has been, you know, reformed. So we need to pay attention, because in the Quran there are many, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that if someone has done a sin, or he did not purify himself, but as soon as he realizes it, because, you know, we are discussing this, why? Because in our listeners, myself first and then the listeners, when they listen to this, obviously we need to take the next step. So what should we do? We know the reasons. Like, what are the reasons? The first reason we said, because the people do not purify themselves, do not go towards the perfection.
Yes.
If I realize that I'm not on that path, the first thing is tabu, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, what is it? Aslahu. Then we need to reform ourselves. Because when we do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. For these kind of people, I go towards them. Because here, atubu, it's not repentance. I accept their repentance.
That's right.
You know, this exception is very, accepting the repentance is very important.
Allah is tawwab.
Yes.
Allah is tawwab or rahim. Acceptor.
He comes back. He comes back to earth, to us, and he accepts it. So we need to obviously pay attention towards these things.
All right. They are for sure very true. But Brother Ali Alibian, if you want to compare the justice system, for example, in a country like Islamic Republic of Iran and the Western world, the definition that they give out of justice is for sure very much different. And but the case is that we have some greater points to mention. For example, you know, the both men and women in Iran are paid in terms of the money. I mean, if we have a bank clerk who is a woman and a man, they are paid the same. This is what the payment, for example, or wage equality the West has been looking for. And the women, in fact, in the West have been looking for so many years. Or, for example, about the participation at the university, both women and men have the same chance. In terms of using the natural resources in all parts of the country, the governments and the states have to observe justice. So I think the Islamic Republic of Iran could be a nice model if achieved properly.
Yeah.
In terms of, we can say, implementing justice in the Muslim lands.
Introducing a new model.
Yeah, or a new model to the world, which has the Aqlani and Ma'navi at the same time. Isn't it true?
Very true. What you said is exactly true and needs to be even worked on more, because due to the problems that we have been faced with, like that of, let's say, imposed war later on, we have seen the pressure of the sanctions and some mismanagements in the whole system. We have seen that even this kind of look that you said, both are paid, but equally, needs to be even modified in an Islamic way. So any person needs to receive as his sha'niyya, what is it?
A status.
Based on the status that he or she has. So it's sometimes a person with, this is what even Islam tells us, Quran, هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So definitely those who know are not the same as those who do not know. So there is, when we are talking about justice exactly, is totally different with the status of musawat or equality, if this equality is a good translation for that. So we have this potentiality in our principles, and
that's
if
right.
It is derived well from these sources, and we expect it from the from the scholars who are in charge of the economy, or let's say economy theories of the country and policy, or politicians to take it from Islamic sources and text to see what is the best model that Islam introduces. Look, I don't want to say that we have not reached yet at all, but we are still on the way to reach that. So the concept that everyone needs to receive and to be paid to the extent that his status requires him or her to be received, this is something that Islam has lots of words to say here.
Okay.
So this is where we can, I think, introduce to the world and say this is the Islam. Unfortunately, Islamic countries were silent in this field, and they have not yet even worked, though they have not been under the pressures that we have been.
Look,
they have not yet
faced
any war that we have been under the pressure of. So you see, the only country that is expected to actually introduce a good role model in this system is Islamic Republic of Iran. And then scholars from seminary schools and even universities, those who are familiar with Islamic principles, Mabani, to work and to extract these rules from Islamic sources. And it is, I think, reachable, and it can be achieved, inshallah. And we shall find that how beautiful Islam looks at the right of the people. We see that no right is violated and neglected, and this is what we are waiting for this to happen. Look, theoretically, we know what Islam says when we are talking about justice, when we have defined it. But in order to implement it in the different classes of the, in different, let's say, levels of the society, in the management of the offices and official, official departments, so it needs to be, let's say, the laws must be issued and the required, let's say, legislation needs to be enacted. So this is what we are, inshallah, waiting for it to happen.
And, you know, sometimes we look at the very beautiful picture of how these big towers are shown to us in the West, also in some of the Arab countries. But when you go behind the scene, just look at how much the minimum wage they have the laborers, especially the migrators from weak parts of the society. There was recently a documentary showing this, that in what we can say afflicted situations the workers and the laborers who are working in big towers are living, in some of these Arab countries. This is not justice, for sure. And this is not, as Brother Ali said, we can say, respecting the Sharia. The position of human being in today's world as the best creature of Allah on earth. And this is not justice. But I think in the Muslim lands, we have to look for a model which is applicable and which is compatible with the culture and with the religion and with the society in the Eastern world.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we could see that some of, or most of the models that are coming are, we can say, imported from the Western one, something which has been with their own, we can say, position or secularism, or in terms of the financial thing, the banking system, and even human being in general, okay? That is living over there, for example, without observing religious laws or Islamic laws or something like that. We have to look for a model, and this is the duty of the scholars over here, brothers Said Mosanawi and Brother Ali Alevi.
I just want to say one sentence and draw then a model for us. Say it. Look, brother, theoretically, we understand that whatever we understand from Islam, it tells us that there is a very good model here, but it has not yet been organized in the way that is workable. It is workable, but it has not been yet organized for the implementation. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, mathematically speaking, let's say 2 multiplied by 2 makes 4, because we see it that Islam tells us that, okay, look, this is the right or the just way to consider the rights of the people,
right.
The right of the creatures of God. So when in action, to bring it into action, so it requires a sort of, as whatever the Westerners did.
Okay.
I mean, they made it organized and then they presented. So we Muslims, since we have been under, different pressures in the course of history now, it doesn't mean that we are always
acting
Muslims.
More organized. We have to do that.
We need to make it organized and present
yes.
it to the whole world.
Inshallah, day by day, we are progressing. Rahbar also has talked about the judicial justice. This is very important. Sayyid mentioned that the judge has to be just, okay?
Yes.
So the judicial system has to be just and look after the true justice in the society.
The same way that the Imam of the Muslimin, Imam Ali alayhi salam, asked the judge to be judged, to act justly in between me and the person who is actually coming to your court.
Mm.
So these lessons are, as I said, theoretically already. They need just to be presented in a word, organized and well prepared.
We are far away from the true justice. And we as the Muslims have to present the models to the world, and inshallah one day the scholars, well, the people with the help of the scholars can reach such a system and such a model of justice all across the world. But Sayyid Mosanawi and Brother Ali Alevian, thank you very much for your elaboration regarding the topic of justice as elaborated by the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, thank you very much too for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Iyan Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
In the limelight.
The deadly heat wave that recently pummeled the Pacific Northwest and southwestern Canada described by a pair of climate scientists as the most extreme in the world weather records, killed nearly 800 people in Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, along with over 1 billion intertidal animals. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kenny Stansil Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Oregon's Growing Bootleg Fire is one of 70 now raging in U.S. West, and where another heat wave looms. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Bolstering the case for meaningful action to address the climate emergency, the out-of-control bootleg fire that began on July 6th in southern Oregon has scorched more than 280,000 acres and is only 22% contained. It is the nation's largest wildfire so far this year and one of 70 large blazes currently torching the U.S. West, which is bracing for yet another heat wave. To put bootleg's destructiveness into perspective, the fire, one of 10 burning in Oregon alone, has spread over 25,000 acres per day on average, or more than 1,000 acres every hour. According to CNN meteorologist Brandon Miller, that's an area larger than the area of Central Park each hour, or rate of a football field burned every 5 seconds for 11 days. As the Washington Post reported recently, the bootleg fire's expansion has destroyed 117 outbuildings and 67 residences in Klamath County, said Holly Craig, a spokeswoman for the bootleg fire incident management team. The fire is still raging in Lake County, home to a population of more than 7,000 residents, and the damage is being assessed, she said. Craig added some 2,000 residents across both counties had been evacuated, with over 5,000 residences threatened by the growing flames. With an unprecedented wildfire season underway, the American Red Cross has opened 4 shelters throughout the state, said Chad Carter, the organization's Oregon Regional Communications Director. He said they are prepared to open more if needed. We are all planning for this to be a prolonged event this summer, Carter told the Post. We have got several shelters open right now, and we will continue to adjust based on the need throughout the summer. In addition to causing displacement, state officials said the fire has endangered parts of the power grid, specifically transmission lines that carry electricity to California, CNN reported. Allison Green, Public Affairs Director for the Oregon Office of State Fire Marshals, told the Post that we are seeing conditions that we usually see in mid-August. It's been extreme fire behavior over the last week that has created conditions that are certainly challenging. In an online update, Rob Allen, incident commander for the Pacific Northwest Area Incident Management Team 2, noted that the bootleg fire perimeter is more than 200 miles long. That's an enormous amount of line to build and hold. Given its massive size and quick moving pace, Ryan Berlin, a bootleg fire zone number one information officer, told the Post that there is a pretty good possibility the bootleg fire could merge with the smaller log fire, which blew up also. While the spark that caused the bootleg fire remains under investigation, very dry fuel is abundant in Oregon and throughout the western U.S., where a dozen states are battling 70 active wildfire complexes. For weeks, the region has suffered from record-high temperatures and a worsening drought. The severely hot and dry weather, which scientists say is inseparable from climatic disruptions driven by the emission of heat-trapping greenhouse gases has created the conditions for an especially catastrophic wildfire season that experts warn is far from over. The deadly heat wave that recently pummeled the Pacific Northwest and southwestern Canada, described by a pair of climate scientists as the most extreme in world weather records, killed nearly 800 people in Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, along with over 1 billion intertidal animals. According to a rapid response analysis conducted by a team of researchers, the dangerously high temperatures that helped make last month the hottest June in North America in recorded history would have been virtually impossible in the absence of the past two centuries of extracting and burning coal, oil, and gas, the primary source of growing carbon pollution. Mark Williams, a climate scientist at UCLA, recently said the same thing about the wave of wildfires now ravaging communities and ecosystems throughout the western U.S. "We wouldn't be seeing this giant ramp up in fire activity as fast as it is happening without climate change," Williams told the New York Times. "There is just no way. Drought and high heat," the Times noted recently, "can kill trees and dry out dead grass, pine needles, and any other material on the bottom of the forest floor that act as kindling when a fire sweeps throughout a forest." According to Joe Hessel, an ancient commander for the Oregon Department of Forestry, this fire is going to continue to grow. "The extremely dry vegetation and weather are not in our favor." Hessel's ominous warning came as the U.S. West fourth heat wave in 5 weeks got underway in northern Rockies and high plains. Axis reported that temperatures in the area are expected to hit 20 to 30 degrees Fahrenheit above average. Experts fear that the impending high-pressure system known as a heat dome could exacerbate existing fires or contribute to the formation of new ones. According to the Times, parts of Idaho, 17 active large fires, Montana 13, Wyoming 2, and Utah 1 could be hit with triple-digit highs over the weekend and into early next week, with temperatures peaking. Ironically, one factor that could suppress temperatures slightly is a hazy sky due to smoke from nearby wildfires. CNN reported earlier this week that as a result of the ongoing blazes in the western U.S., most of the country, including states as far away as New York, could see at least light surface-level wildfire smoke. The news outlet noted that Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, and Minnesota issued air quality alerts. According to the Post, a major concern is the prospect of dry thunderstorms from the Sierra Nevada mountain range northward through much of northern Nevada, eastern Idaho, and central Montana. These storms could unleash cloud-to-ground lightning that ignites new blazes. Although he was pointing to this week's devastating flooding in Germany and Belgium, Representative Jamal Bowman could just as easily have been talking about the heat waves, drought conditions, and fires clobbering the U.S. West when he said recently that we are living through a climate catastrophe. Last week, climate justice advocates from the Sunrise Movement alluded to several extreme weather events and fossil fuel disasters that have occurred recently in the U.S. and came to the conclusion that the time for incrementalism is over. Bowman amplified that message, saying, "My colleagues in Congress have to understand we don't have 30 years. It's now or never." We have to redesign our economy to respond to the current crisis and to ensure it doesn't get much, much worse, he added.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن.
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, from your program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you as usual from IRIB English Radio. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us here again. Dear Sheikh, our question today is something that I'm sure is on the mind of many believers, many couples who are married. And the question is as follows. If the husband of a woman somehow dies, either a natural death or he is martyred in combat, and the woman, naturally, she needs a partner, a spouse. Mm-hmm. She marries after the death of her previous husband. When we reach judgment day, the day of reckoning, and she is deemed fit to be in heaven, will she in heaven be reunited with her previous husband? Or does she have the choice to maybe go with the second husband or not choose either? So, in short, do couples stay together in the hereafter? Do they have a choice? Do they separate? Or please clarify this for us, dear Sheikh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first point is that, before going directly to answer this question, we do not know about all the details on the Day of Judgment. So, belief in the Day of Judgment is necessary. It should be out of intellectual arguments. About the details, we can suffice with the details mentioned in the Quran and in the narrations. The second point is that a marriage is a worldly contract, and I mean, it finishes as soon as one of them they passes away. So this contract does not continue, I mean, automatically for the world of Barzakh.
So rather renewed. Again.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, the world of Barzakh has its own rules. And so we cannot claim that all the couples will be with each other on the Day of Judgment, because of the fact that on the Day of Judgment, every person will be taken into account through his or her actions. So it's very likely for the man to go to the fire, to the hellfire, and for the woman to go to the paradise, or vice versa. So my point is that the contract of marriage, I mean, comes to its end when one of them passes away, and we cannot say that it will continue after the death. And I mean, it requires that both of them should be together on the Day of Judgment. No, this is not the case. Now, first of all, can couples be together on the Day of Judgment, I mean in Paradise? The answer is that yes, they can if they choose to do so. Now, there are some narrations that tell us that on the Day of Judgment, the couples, I mean wife and husband, if both of them they are going to be in Paradise, they can choose to live together as so-called wife and husband, because again we may not use these terms for the Day of Judgment, but anyway, I mean they have men and women in heaven, in Paradise. They have also these desires. This is one of the pleasures of heaven. So we have the concept of Hurul Ain. Now, many people may have this impression that Hurul Ain are only for the men. This is not the case. According to many scholars, Hurul Ain are the angels, so-called, for both men and women. So if we may use this worldly term, we can say that we have female angels and we have male angels as Hurul Ain for both men and women in Paradise. So in heaven, the answer whether wife and husband can be together in Paradise, the answer is yes. If both of them they are in Paradise, then the answer is positive. They can to be with each other as partners if they choose this.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So as you mentioned, the verses of the Quran talk about multiple Hurul Ain for the men. As for women, again, I go back to my first point. Not all the details are known to us. And, I mean, even we are not sure about all the laws. I mean, sometimes we think of the same laws in this world and on the Day of Judgment. Now, answering your question, whether women can have more than one Hurul Ain or spouse and so on and so forth, as far as I've searched, there is no narration, for sure there is no verse, and there is no narration answering this question. What I found in the statement of some of the scholars is that because in this world, one of the reasons that we believe in polygamy for men and not having more than one husband for the wife is that women, I mean, deep in their nature, they dislike it. They do not want to have more than one husband. Many people may go against it in this world, but the point is that according to the scholars, some of the Muslim scholars, because this is in the nature of the women, on the Day of Judgment, which is the world of the realities, they will have the true essence of this nature. Again, in Paradise, they will not have such a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with more than one angel or more than one man. This is I have found in the statements of some of the scholars, but again, as I mentioned, we cannot be sure about that because this question has not been answered in the narrations. But maybe we can, I ask the dear listeners to think about this answer. Maybe they find it convincing, or they may come to other conclusions. The point is that, I mean, the other, some may object that the Quran says that فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِهِ الْأَنْفُسِ. In Paradise, you will have whatever you wish for. Now, the question is that will women in Paradise wish for more than one Hurul Ain or one man? According to these scholars, they will not have such a request. But if there is a request, there they might be, according to this verse, they need to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is that whether they will have such a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to these scholars, they will not have such a request to begin with.
So an even important point, if they should have this request, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can just remove this desire from them and not just give them what they want, basically.
Yes, but one may again argue that what we are talking about is because of all the laws and rulings that today we are, accustomed to. Maybe on the Day of Judgment, the laws, the rulings, everything is different. So maybe in that world, let me put it this way, very explicitly, that maybe in that world, for a woman to have more than one husband is not something bad. Because
perhaps, yeah.
the rules, everything is different. That world is different from this world. This group of scholars, they say that no, this is in the nature of the women. They do not like to have more than husband. So on the day of judgment, even in paradise, they will not have such a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But maybe some may argue that this is based on what we understand from the laws in this world. That world has its own rules, and maybe everything would be different. Anyway, we do not have a clear answer to this question according to the narrations.
We can just assume, going from the nature of woman.
But some narrations confirm the viewpoint of these scholars. I will come to answer your main question, that a woman who has had two husbands in this world, what will happen for her on the Day of Judgment? I will come to that. My point is that some narrations tell us that the woman can choose one of the two husbands. The narrations, they do not tell us he can choose both of them. So
exactly, that's a good point.
Yeah. So maybe these narrations confirm the viewpoint of these scholars.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the Day of Judgment, again, this is the nature of the women, is that they like to be only with one man and husband. And I think these narrations also prove the viewpoint of this group of scholars.
True, very true.
So, as I mentioned, there are some verses in the Quran talking about marriage with Hurul Ain, like وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُرُ الْعِينِ, chapter Al-Dukhan, verse 54. Some scholars at least believe that Hurul Ain, as I mentioned, refer to both male and female angel. Of course, maybe these terms are not true, just to clarify
true,
the point. So, for example, I've seen the words of Allama Hassan Lada Amari. He says that marriage with Hurul Ain is not limited to men. For the women, there are also angels to get married to and to be with. Now, if we have time, I will answer the main question. What will happen if a woman has married to two men in this world? There are different scenarios. I only mentioned the scenario. I mean, at least we have six scenarios, and then we will need to answer maybe each. We need to deal with each scenario independently, maybe in the following session. The first scenario is that both wife and husband, they are in paradise. The second scenario is that the woman is in heaven, the man in hellfire. The third is vice versa. The fourth is that both of them are in hellfire. Fifth is that the woman is in paradise with her husband. And the sixth scenario is that the man is with his wives, all of them in paradise. So these are six scenarios that I believe we need to discuss in the following.
Exactly, dear Sheikh. Our time is unfortunately up. We will, however, discuss these six different scenarios and the answers to them on the next session, inshallah. This has been host Musa Al-Bahadiri, coming to you from the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us today.
إن في الجنة نهر اللبن علي وحسين وحسن
بعلي وحسين وحسن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، بعلي وحسين وحسن، بعلي وحسين وحسن. كل من كان محبا لهم، كل من كان محبا لهم، يدخل الجنة من غير حزن، يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، لعلي وحسين وحسن، لعلي وحسين وحسن. كل من كان محبا لهم، كل من كان محبا لهم، يدخل الجنة من غير حزن.
The light.
The French artist has created a huge cardboard installation in the shape of the hanging bridge. The artwork is 18 meters in length and hovers above Rome's Tiber River with the help of three gigantic helium-filled balloons. Olivier, who created the work, was inspired by famous Italian Renaissance architect and sculptor Michelangelo. The Italian master had been tasked with the constructing a bridge on Tiber to connect the gardens of the Villa Farnesina to the Farnese Palace. However, he died before he could complete the venture. Now Michelangelo's mission has been accomplished centuries after his demise by one of his admirers. Every year, a lot of animals lose their life due to various kinds of accidents, but some of them are lucky enough to get a second chance. Perseus, the Greek cat, is one of them. The stray feline was taken to a vet in the city of Larissa last year after a terrible accident. The vets had to perform three surgeries, but Perseus lost the same number of limbs. However, he managed to stay alive and was given prosthetic legs. Perseus has adapted perfectly to his new limbs and now uses them to get around. He has also managed to snatch the heart of his saviors as visitors at the clinic where he cured have grown. The Japanese art collective has created a mesmerizing environment in a forest where nature and technology come together. In the mountains of Kyushu in southern Japan, the nature comes to life after the dark. Flowers and trees are illuminated in a glowing ripple shine, while rocks turn colorful with light installations. A waterfall made of light pours gently on a bright rock. Some rocks have calligraphy, and artificial pond projects colorful fish too. The artists behind the work say their aim is to unite technology and nature.
The thing is, sometimes people think it's a digital and nature is completely it's against each other. But in the same time, we think it's in a digital and the nature is it's quite easy to be merged.
The Japanese team also wants to raise awareness about the original beauty of the nature, which they say is often ignored. To remind people of that, they hold exhibitions combining projections, sound, and carefully designed spaces. So far, the group has organized several art shows of this kind. Animals have been providing protection and service to people since time immemorial. They have not only been the source of food like meat, butter and milk, but also served humans by eating plants toxic to them. Authorities in New York City have taken 24 goats from a nearby farm to the Riverside Park in Manhattan to munch on invasive weeds. They say it's an environmentally friendly win-win for the species removal at the park. The goats get to feast on overgrown bush, and Riverside Park Conservancy doesn't have to dump harsh chemicals on weeds. Park officials say it's both healthy for the goats and good for the environment.
As part of our woodland restoration initiative, 2 years ago, we unleashed a very hungry group of goats into a stretch of the park that had been overrun with invasive plants. And wow, did they exceed expectations. We called it Gotham because we put the goat in Gotham. They chowed down on Japanese knotweed. They noshed on porcelain berry. They snacked on multiflora rose. They easily traversed the hard-to-reach terrain behind me and gulped down poison ivy without even giving it a second thought. Since goats are naturally effective weed whackers, putting them to work in Gotham is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's healthy for the goats, and it's good for the environment. That's farm to table.
People visiting the goats at the zoo say these animals are emotionally intelligent and connect with people. Goats are an ingenious approach to weed removal, eating species dangerous to humans like poison ivy. Of the 24 goats, 5 will call Riverside Park its home through the end of August. For some others, the public can vote to determine which goat will be crowned the greatest of all time. The winner will be announced by the end of the summer.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water, and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects. Maybe kittens are considered the cutest baby animals by many of us, but just wait to see this baby hippo, which was born during a full moon. The male cub was born in a Mexican zoo last month. He weighs 30 kilos upon birth. Since then, he has spent most of his time bonding with his mother. The vets in the zoo say he is healthy, playful, strong, and a bit hyperactive. They say some of his habits are surprisingly similar to that of a horse or a dolphin. Generally, reproduction among zoo hippos is not a common practice. Therefore, newborn calves are signs of high quality of the lives and habitats of their parents. A zoo in central France is welcoming the birth of a male giraffe after 15 months of waiting. The calf is named after Melman, the giraffe character in the Madagascar movie franchise. He was born on Sunday in a Bouval Zoo park. He is 170 centimeters tall and weighs 55 kilograms. Zookeepers say Melman is a special baby.
A giraffe birth here. It's our second birth since we've had the group of females established for a few years. So for us, it's still quite an important and exceptional event because it's not every day that we have a giraffe birth.
The giraffe keepers say Melman stood on his feet for the first time 45 minutes after being born. Since zoos have opened in France, visitors can enjoy seeing little Melman playing around with his mother. The birth of the baby giraffe is good news for wildlife preservation, as according to estimates, the number of the animal in the wild has dropped by about 30% since the 1980s.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The Jellyfish Bot is a remote-controlled electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It's 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible, because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers, is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance as historic. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital Lima has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This very baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids' biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wools associated with these species, which have common ancestors with camels. We'll be right back.
German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems, but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26, so we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sand castle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany.
IRIB English Radio.